Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Flat Springs Baptist Church. As you can tell, this is Baptist Women's Day, and we are so glad that you're here to celebrate that with us. If we do not know you, please find one of those little pads in front of you in the pew, fill that out and drop it in the offering plate so that we can get in contact with you. And please do not run out at the conclusion of our worship service. Give us a chance to make eye contact and say hello and make sure that you feel welcome to return with us. We do have several guests with us today. First and foremost, let me say that we have a friend, Phyllis Elvington, with us. And at the appropriate time, this fun-sized lady is going to come and share with us. Her biography, part of it, is in the bulletin today. So if you will take a look at that, that's a pretty fair representation. In your bulletin, there are several announcements about the upcoming Easter season. We do have plans for a Friends and Family Day on March the 31st with a pancake brunch, and before that, an egg hunt for our children. And we are reviving the sunrise service. So on Easter Sunday, it will be a morning filled with activities, and then you're free. So we will come for sunrise service, we will have breakfast, then go to Sunday school, and then have worship service. It's been a while since Flat Springs has done that, so please tell everyone about that and make it a priority. This coming Saturday, we have the Wild Game Dinner. This would be a new activity for me. So if you are a person who uses a bow, a person who uses a BB gun, a person who uses a rod and reel, this may be for you. And if you don't use any of those things and you just stand amazed, come on out anyway. And there will be a marriage retreat at the end of April. These announcements are in the bulletin. House and Grounds will have its regular monthly meeting Tuesday at 6:30. Would you pray with me? As in Psalm 9, Heavenly Father, I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonderful deeds. This past weekend, you blessed us at the Coastal Women's Retreat at Fort Caswell. You provided us safe travel and Christian fellowship. On Wednesday, you blessed the food that we shared among our church families here in our own fellowship hall. You went with us this week to work, to school, to choir practice, to Journey Youth Meeting, to Awana, to ACT Teens and RAs, and to the baby Ladies Bible Study on Thursday. This week you calmed us when we were angry, you embraced us when we were sad, you healed us from illness, and you managed our pain. You welcomed loved ones to heaven. This week you comforted victims of violence. This week, you urged us into service on Dorcas So Day at Ronald McDonald House and for this Baptist Women's Day. You continue to wait on the lost and disobedient with your unfailing love. We thank you for your grace. Thank you for our Baptist men who graciously provided the ladies with breakfast this morning. And thank you for guiding Phyllis Elvington to Flat Springs to share your word and teach us of your love and expectations for our lives. Thank you for the gift of your son, Jesus. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praises of your name, O Most High. Amen.
Reading of Psalm 100.
Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth.
Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs.
Know that the Lord is God.
It is he who has made us, and we are his, and we are his people, the sheep of his pasture.
Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise.
Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever.
His faithfulness continues through all the generations. Let's prepare our hearts and minds for worship.
Thank you.
stand with me and sing all three verses of the hymn, page 54, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Let us pray. Unclutter our lives, Lord. We have too much, consume too much, expect too much.
Grant us perspective to see this world through others' eyes, not just our own.
Grant us compassion, Lord. Where there is need, strengthen us. Open the eyes of our hearts in order that we play our part and not turn aside.
Grant us gratitude for what we have, for our daily bread, and for the gift of life.
Unclutter our lives, Lord. Give us space, simplicity, and thankful hearts.
In Jesus' name, we offer our prayers, just as we offer our tithes and offerings.
Amen.
Thank you.
you'll please stand with me and sing page 334, the hymn of praise, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine, all three verses.
So this morning, we're going to talk about habits. Who knows what a habit is? What's a habit?
A habit is something that...
Can anybody help her out? Does anybody know what a habit is? What's a habit? Like biting your nails. Yeah, so a habit is something you find yourself doing every day. And sometimes it's something that's kind of hard to give up, huh? All right, so can anybody tell us what a bad habit might be? No? What's a bad habit? Yes. Mm. Smoking. Yeah, that's a bad habit. And biting your nails. What's something like maybe hitting your brother or sister or raising your voice, stuff like that, or not listening to your parents? How about some good habits? No? I know y'all know some good habits. Getting out of bed at the right time. Yeah. Something else? What's it? Being proactive. Yes, that's a very good habit. Or like helping your parents set the table, having good manners. What's another one?
Being responsible.
Being responsible. Good. So we have to remember that habits, we can pick our habits by the choices we make. And sometimes it seems easier and it comes more natural to make bad habits. So we have to be careful and discipline ourselves to make good choices so that we have good habits. So I want to read you guys a verse. This is Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11, and this is out of the Message Bible. At the time, discipline isn't much fun. It always feels like it's going against the grain. Later, it pays off handsomely, for it's the well-trained who find themselves mature in their relationship with God. So some of the other really good habits we can do every day, we can read our Bible and pray, and that helps us have a good relationship with God by spending time with Him every day. Okay? Can y'all do that? All right, so let's say a prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for your word and allowing it to discipline us to make good choices. Thank you for these children and guide them with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Wanted to remind y'all that we want to be remembering our church family in our prayers, and we're thinking about our prayer concerns. I pray that you pray for this church weekly, as we as a staff do, but we also wanted to mention Miss Peggy Shepherd, that you would continue to remember her in your prayers. She's still at Duke Hospital, and we just ask that you would remember her as you're praying this week. We're very thankful to have Phyllis here with us this morning to talk about legacies of faith. I want you to hear these words from Luke chapter 1, verse 37. For nothing will be impossible with God. This verse helps us to understand that faith doesn't make things easy, it makes things possible. Will you pray with me? O Lord, our mighty God, how great is your faithfulness. Faithfulness to us, your people, throughout all the generations. Father, we are not worthy of the graciousness that you show to us. However, even though we're not worthy, please help us to be faithful. Please be with Phyllis this morning as she comes to deliver your word to us, God. Help us to listen to those words, to take them to heart, and to apply them to our daily walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
I you to the choir for that. I know many of you do not know me. You'll know me after this morning, I'm quite sure. But many of you are aware and probably were able to participate via television the going home celebration for Billy Graham on Friday, which was absolutely beautiful. And they shared that Billy had, Reverend Graham had written out all that he wanted for his funeral service. And I've done the same thing. I have planned my funeral because I figure my children will make a mess of it if I don't do it right. You know? And one of my friends has said, Phyllis, if you don't quit adding to that, it's going to take 3 days to bury you like it is. But it would bless my heart in glory if y'all could just come to Tabor City Baptist at that time. Not only was the In the Garden just beautiful, but when you finished it with I Love to Tell the Story, it will be my tell the old story of Jesus and his love. Do you know that you will never tell the story of Jesus if you don't go to the garden alone? That is the key. That is the legacy that we will pass down. It is such an honor to be with you today. I am impressed that the church is packed. Usually on Baptist Women's Day, they go off for that day. They say, well, they're just going to be talking to the women, so we may as well just go on home, you know. And I am impressed. Even the front rows are full. I am really pleased with that. I mean, that's just, of course, it started at the back. Now, I'm going to have to give you, if it was a concert, y'all would have started from the front back. But no, it started from the back, and it's solid back there. If y'all turn around and look, it's solid at the back. And then it comes up, and it's, but I'm grateful, and I'm very grateful to Stephanie Bridges for inviting me and giving me the invitation. We were able to be together, a group from this church, last weekend, and it was just powerful at Fort Caswell. And the reason it was powerful is because it was on the power of praise, because that is where God lives, and I can sense his presence in this place. So I appreciate the privilege of being able to be here. Would you raise your Bibles for me, please? I know you have your Bibles. You've got a pew Bible if you don't have your own Bible, so raise a pew Bible. Just don't take it home unless they've told you you can, okay? All righty. You can be turning in your Bible to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1 while I share just a little bit about our theme for today. Because our message today is entitled Legacy of Faith. Legacy of Faith. And as I was sharing with Stephanie about where you are as a church and what the message needed to be, because this is focused on WMU Sunday. It's Baptist Women's Sunday. And the theme for WMU during this time is Fan the Flame, which is where we get the foundation scripture from 2 Timothy 4. But it's really talking about passing the baton from one generation to another. I'm a cross-country and a track coach. And I'm telling you, I love relays. Our team won the 4x100-meter relay at the state meet. Now, I'm telling you, you're doing something when you do that. We had this star football player, and he had never run track. And I told him, I said, at our little school, Green Sea Floyds High School, we were a 1A school. I said, you ain't never going to get a gold medal with football at Green Sea Floyds High School. Bless their hearts. You know what I'm saying? I said, but if you want to win a gold medal, you run track for me. And I said, because I had the fastest sprinter in the state. He won the 100-meter, the 110 hurdles, the 200, and then we won the gold medal in the 4x100-meter relay. But I'm telling you, your pass-off is critical. You've seen the Olympics. We get all the way there. One split second, you drop the baton, and you're DQ'd. You don't get a redo. You don't get to try it again. All four of you and the alternates that you have go home without the medal. And that's what this message is about today. It's about passing the baton to the next generation. And we only get one chance at doing that. As Stephanie was sharing with me some of the rich heritage of passing the baton here at Flat Springs, she sent me some information, and I heard about people like Sunday school and Bible school teachers, Miss Lona, Miss Viola, Peggy Watson, Betsy Phillips. I heard about some Bible school grannies, Betty, Gail, and Pat. I read about some generations who have served in the fellowship,
building and the kitchen. Miss Lona, Betty, Mary Lou, and even Diane Rockin' Babies. I heard about the original librarian. I sat in the library this morning, and I could literally hear the voices through the ages those books have been used. Ethel Hedgepath, who started, and now Jean and Pam. But I want you to know that today's message is not just for women passing the baton. This message is for every person in this congregation today, because you see, we're all leaving a legacy. Billy Graham's legacy was celebrated on Friday, and I was so thrilled that each child came up. That was so significant, because you know, you can fool some of the people some of the time. You can even fool some of the people all of the time. But you can't fool your family. They know you inside and out. And I would rather my two boys say that Mama was a faithful Christian. I loved it when Franklin said, the Billy Graham you saw at the Crusades was the Billy Graham that you saw at home. As I was preparing for last weekend, I texted my youngest, John Mark, who is teaching Bible and World Religions at Christ Church Episcopal High School. I'm a Baptist married to a Methodist, sent our children to Presbyterian College. John Mark graduated from Duke Divinity and he's now teaching at Christ Church Episcopal High School. So we're just trying to evangelize the world. I'm just telling you. And I was seriously in deep study, and I sent to John Mark because I thought Matthew would not be completely honest with me, and my husband would try to be generous, but I knew John Mark, who is ordained and supposed to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, would tell me the truth. And I said, John Mark, I sent him this text at 9:15. I said, John Mark, would you be honest with me and tell me if you think that my persona at home, to what extent on a scale of 1 to 10, matches my teaching, speaking persona? Well, 10:15 came, 11:15 came, 12:15 came. I thought, is it taking him this long to figure out the answer to the question? So I sent him, I will not hold an honest answer against you, you know, if you'll just tell me what it was. It was like 9:30 that night. He said, sorry for the delay, Mom. Yeah, I thought, well, you had me sweating bullets. He said, you're the same, Mama. Now, whether you know that or not, but as long as God sees that, and John Mark and my family, today we're going to be looking at the final words of the Apostle Paul. He was writing a challenge to Timothy, his son in the Lord. It was his adopted son in the Lord, and he was saying, of all the things that matter, these are my last words to you. So if we would listen today, and I want to give you this challenge. I am a Bible teacher, not a preacher. Now, I do preach every now and then. I'm sorry, but I teach mostly. But I want you to listen today for five challenges found in this passage of Scripture. And I want you to ask the Lord, if he wants you to accept all five, that would be wonderful. But if you just hear the Lord asking you to accept just one of these challenges, I want you to let today be a marker in your spiritual walk with the Lord, because I truly believe that today is a divine appointment. You are not here by accident. You are here by God's divine plan. Let's begin reading in 2 Timothy chapter 1 with verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. And verse 3 gives us our first challenge. Paul wrote, I thank God, whom I serve as my forefathers did, get that legacy of faith, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Now, I want you to know that for me personally, I believe the greatest gift that I give on a daily basis to my family is the gift of covering them in prayer.
I'm not one that stays behind that pulpit, so I hope that it's not a distraction, and I hope that you're going to be able to continue to hear. But I want you to see what this illustration looks like. We had a former pastor, Pastor Bruce Schmidt, and his wife Martha, who had been missionaries in Kenya and Uganda for over 15 years. They were missionaries to a very warlike tribe called Maasai. I know you're familiar with them. They're very tall warriors. They lived in an armed compound, and every time they left, they had to be accompanied by someone who was armed for their protection. One night, while they were in their home, surrounded by guards, they heard the drums getting closer and closer and closer. And Bruce looked at Martha, and he said, "They're coming for us. I know they are." And then he said, "I want you to take Stephanie," that was their little girl, he said, "and I want you to put Stephanie on the ground, and I want you to cover her with your body." And he said, "I'm going to take Michael," and that was the little boy, and he said, "I'm going to put Michael on the ground, and I'm going to cover Michael with my body." And then he said something that changed the way I pray for my family every day. He said, "If a bullet gets to one of them, it's going to have to go through us first." Now, that's what you call covering your children in prayer. Now, I want to ask you, what legacy of prayer are you passing down to your children and your grandchildren? I'm going to give you four challenges within this one challenge, because I believe this can change the legacy that your family leaves. I believe that you need to pray for your spouse every day and with your spouse every day. I believe that you need to pray for your children every day, and you need to pray with your children every day. You know, it says no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. I believe that if a husband and a wife, if it's only for 45 seconds a day, before you walk out of that home in the morning, if you just simply stand with your spouse and hold hands, and just like Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord." I can tell you something. You can't have any control over this world outside of your four walls, but you can certainly have control over what goes on in your house. Those of us who are old enough remember our parents saying, "As long as you put your feet under my table, we're going to do it this way." I'm going to tell you something. I was a teacher evaluator for the last 10 years of my school career, and I don't know how it is in this county, but in Horry County, from pre-K through senior high school, the number one problem in Horry County schools was lack of respect for authority. And mamas and daddies cannot have the authority that God has given them if they're not grounded in this book and grounded in prayer. So I want to tell you, if you, would you just stand with me, please? If you, husbands and wives, and many of you, I would probably say, 80% in here do not pray with your spouse every day, because in all of my conferences, I've learned that. A husband prays, a wife prays, but they don't generally pray together. Now, you'll say the blessing, but I'm not talking about the blessing. I'm talking about asking God to set your day before you leave. So if you just stand at the door of your home and pray something like this: "Father, how we love you and we praise you. Lord, we ask that you would take this day and be sovereign Lord. We ask that you would place a hedge of protection around all that we love. And we pray, dear Lord, that every word that we say, every step that we take, every action that we do would bring honor and glory to you. And we pray this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen." Yeah. Now, I want to ask you, do you think your children would have a different legacy of faith if every morning they saw their mama and their daddy praying before you walked out of your house? Not only do you need to pray with your spouse, you need to pray for your spouse. Mamas, you pray for your children, you pray for your church, you pray for your pastor, you pray for your lost, you pray for the missionary. But most wives do not spend the time praying for their husband and covering that husband as if a bullet, if it was coming to him, it was going to have to go through you first. And husbands, you're the same way. You pray for your children, you pray for your church, you pray for the lost. Reason, the person that you are the closest to in human form on this earth, we let it go by. I'm going to tell you, this is a wicked world that we're living in. And if you can't take 2 or 3 minutes out of the 1,440 minutes in a day to cover your family in prayer. I was working on a retreat about a legacy of faith years ago when my children were like 10 and 14, and John Mark was with me. And I said, John Mark, if you could only thank me for being your mama, you could only thank me for one thing for being your mama, what would it be? And John Mark, who is now a minister of the gospel, said, I would thank the Lord that you've taught me the Bible in such a way that I can base my life on it. So I wanted to ask Matthew, because he was 14 at the time, and I thought, I can't wait to see what Matthew will say. So when I got home that night, we were speaking, and I had to call back home to get Matthew because John Mark was traveling with me that weekend. I said, Matthew, if you could only thank me for one thing for being your mama, what would the one thing be? And the 14-year-old said, Mama, I know that you cover me in prayer 24/7. I'm telling you, are you passing down a legacy of prayer in your home? Grandmamas, granddaddies, if you let children and grandchildren come to your house and don't pray with them before they leave, shame on you. Because we don't learn how to pray in Sunday school. We say a little tiny prayer. We say an offertory prayer. We say a welcome prayer. You don't learn how to confess in church. Your children learn how to confess when they hear you praying. There's a family at Tabor City Baptist Church, Paul Green. He always started his prayers with our most precious, loving Heavenly Father. Every child and grandchild begins their prayer with our most gracious, loving Heavenly Father. My children, when they come to visit me now because they're grown, they know they're not going to leave my house until I'm standing beside their car praying for them before they leave. I put my hand on the car. They know we're not leaving until Mama prays. I don't care how much of a rush they're in. Are you passing down a legacy of prayer? I'm not saying this to make you feel guilty. God's mercies are new every morning. If you've never prayed with your spouse, then you say, today is the day I start. One of the saddest days of my life was when John Mark, the last night that he was at home before he went off to college. You know, when you have children, they don't tell you that they're going to leave you. You know what I'm saying? They're whining around your leg. You can't go to the grocery store without them. You know, and you just think, am I ever going to have 5 minutes by myself again? You know, you can't go to the bathroom. They're not standing right there, you know, waiting at the bathroom door. And then suddenly, they graduate from high school. All of you with these children, this was beautiful. I'm telling you what, I was intimidated by some of those answers those children gave. Did y'all hear that? I thought, this is a highly intelligent congregation this morning. Proactive, she said, or he said. I thought, what? All right. On the last night before John Mark left for college, he came to the den and said the same words that he had said for 18 years. And it was, Mama, I'm ready. And that meant that it was time for me to go to his room for us to do our prayer and devotion time together. And somebody looked at me one day and said, how did you get an 18-year-old to still do it? And I said, we never stopped. You know, when they're little, and you put them to bed and you pray with them, why would you stop? I coach cross country at Green Sea Floyd's High School. I'm on the back of every activity bus that leaves, and I'm telling you, it would just break your heart to know the lives and the family life that some of these children put up with. I have children that are 50 pounds overweight running cross country, and you know why? Not because they want to run 3.1 miles, because they know they're going to be loved when they come on the cross country team, and they know they're going to be prayed for. Are you leaving a legacy of faith to your children that you can pass down? Let's look at verse 4. Paul wrote, recalling your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. And when I read that, I think about how we invest our lives in the lives of our family and our loved ones and our community. You know, We live in a busy, busy world. And in other cultures where older people are respected and held in high honor, we tend to push older people aside. Now, I don't know how it is in your family, but in my family, apparently, there is only one child, regardless of how many there are, that inherit the caregiving gene. Do y'all understand what I'm saying here? It's like we all have the same blood going through our veins, but only one gets the call, you know, and the rest kind of just come and go. Well, last year was the first year in 27 years that I was not the main caregiver for some member of my family, either immediate or extended. I had taken care of my first husband, Terry, died in 1992 at the age of 40. He fell from the roof of his mother's house, and I became a widow at age 37 with a 6-year-old and a 2-year-old. And I was a caregiver even then. But just recently, I was caring for Terry's aunt, my husband who died. I cared for her for 6.5 years, and she never married. And she had 9 nieces and nephews. Do you know how many of those nieces and nephews ever came to her house? We planned the funeral. Now, they were all going to be inheriting what she had left on this earth. But at the funeral, some came that had not been in over 10 years. And at the end of the service, I said, we want to invite you to come to the fellowship hall for the family meal. And one of the nieces said, we would rather go spend time with Aunt Pearl. And it was all that I could do to keep from saying, I believe that's a little bit late. You see, there comes a time when it's too late for you to go to the nursing home. It's too late for you to send flowers on their or to send a card, or to pick up the phone and call. I don't know what is wrong with this generation, and I'm sorry, I'll probably never get invited again, but it's the truth. I raised my children going to the nursing home because I wanted them to know the way to get there. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm a funeral goer. I've taken my children, I've drug them to funerals their whole lives. They now feel compelled to go to a funeral. You know, when Mr. Rogers died, you know, on television, somebody in our church said, do you think Miss Gillis is going to go to Mr. Rogers' funeral? I would have gladly gone to Billy Graham's if I had gotten the invitation, but I did not get an invitation. I'm going to tell you something. Do your children have a picture of you ministering to other people? Have they seen you in the nursing home? I took care of Terry's great aunt for 8 years, and she was the honoriest woman I'd ever known in my life. She'd had 7 husbands, no children. At the time I started caring for her, she was getting Social Security checks from 2 of them, and I turned her into the IRS. I said, I cannot take care of your finances and you doing something illegal. Now, I prayed she would not have a heart attack when we found out how much she was going to have to pay back, but the Lord worked it all out, you know. But I took the boys to the nursing home one day, and she looked at me, and she said, do you have any toenail clippers in your pocketbook? And I knew that I did. I said, I think I do. She said, well, I need my toenails cut. I thought, this is not going to be good. Because, you know, people in the nursing home, they don't usually wear hose and all that stuff. And I said, well, you know, maybe if we get a pan and we soak your feet, it might help them get soft. And she said, and it might take some of the smell away, too, you know. I said, you're right about that. So I asked the Lord to give me strength to cut her toenails, and I did. And as we were leaving that day, because I had them with me, I didn't have anywhere else to put them, you know? I mean, they had to go with me. John Mark looked at me, Matthew looked at me, and he said, Mama, he said, if you have to go into the nursing home, I don't know if I'll be able to cut your toenails or not. I said, if I'm in a nursing home and I ask you to cut my toenails, you better cut my toenails. Have your children and your grandchildren seen you ministering to those who are of the least of these? In the next verse, verse 5, Paul wrote, I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice,
and I am now persuaded, lives also in you. Are you passing down a sincere faith? Now, let me just preface this by saying that Romans 10, 17 says, now faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I shared this last weekend because it is so powerful. In the book, A Woman After God's Own Heart by Elizabeth George, she talks about mothers who pray, who have prayed for their children. And she shares the story of Ruth Bell Graham, before Billy was called into the ministry, spent an hour every day praying for her son, Billy Graham. But she wasn't just praying randomly. She prayed a specific Bible verse every day for an hour for Billy. And that verse was 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Do you think God answered her prayers? How many of us as mamas and daddies or grandmamas and granddaddies have spent an hour praying for one child? I'm going to tell you something. Your sincere faith is going to be based and grounded on the word of God. And brother pastor, everywhere I go, 80% of any congregation, unless you are the exception to the rule, have never read the whole book. And then it just breaks my heart when I ask and find out that that is confirmed. We say we're a people of the book, but we're not a people of the book. You ask why our nation is in such a mess right now, and it's because we claim to be a people of the book, but we're not. I'm going to ask you something. What plan have you been using to read God's word from January 1st till today, which is March the 4th? And I'm going to tell you this with certainty. If you don't have a plan to read this book, you're not reading the book. Satan doesn't care how many Bibles you own. He doesn't care how many are sitting on the shelf at your house. All it bothers him is when you open the book. I read my Bible through every year. Not to say that I've read my Bible through. God speaks to me every single day in this book. I have an Old Testament plan, a New Testament plan, and I read Psalms and Proverbs twice. There's 150 Psalms, 31 Proverbs. That's 181 times 2 is 362. Now, it'll take you 3.5 chapters a day to read your Bible through in a year. And if that causes you stress, well, it breaks my heart. Because I would sure hate to get to heaven and God look at me and say, you never read my book. You never read my book. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You'll never walk in the garden alone and be able to say that this is my story. This is my song. If you are not in the Word, and the Lord help you as a mama and a daddy or a grandmama and a granddaddy, how do you have an answer to your children if it's not based on the word of God? Jesus said, this is powerful. Heaven and earth are going to pass away. But my words will never pass away. We watch television. We are on the internet. We play video games. Parents, take the technology from in front of your child's face and teach them the word of God, which is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. I'm telling you, I taught Bible drill when my children were in grades 4, 5, and 6, and then 7, 8, and 9. It was 25 verses a year. You learn 75 Bible verses in a 3-year span. I'm telling you, nothing can take the word of God out of your heart. Jesus said in John 15, 5, which is my favorite verse in all of this book, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he it is that will bear much fruit. Not just fruit, but much fruit, comma. But apart from me, you can do nothing. Nothing. You can burn yourself out doing good stuff.
And if it's not coming as an overflow of your relationship with Jesus, it's going to be burned up with wood, hay, and stubble. You drop down two more verses to verse 7, and Jesus himself said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. And this is not some greasy-haired evangelist giving you some kind of name it and claim it religion. This is the Son of God. Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. James 4:2b says, you have not because you ask not. I live that verse in front of my children every day. They would tell you right now, Mama drove us crazy with James 4:2b. Because what I would do when we would go through a drive-thru like McDonald's or parties or somewhere like that, you know, I would place my order and we would get up to the window and I would say, what you giving away free today? And about 50% of the time they'd say, we're not giving away anything free. And then the other 50% of the time they'd say, well, what you want? I'd say, well, what you got? We got stuff like brownies and cookies, whatever. My Father is rich in houses and lands. He holdeth the wealth of the world in his hands. Of rubies and diamonds, of silver or gold, his coffers are full. He has riches untold. I'm a child of the King. A child of the King. Some of y'all think I'm crazy right now, but I'm going to tell you something. When we get to heaven, you're going to look at one another and say, well, I declare, she was normal.
Wait and see. Just wait and see. That's, are you? Let me ask you this. Would you want your children and your grandchildren to read their Bible with the same consistency that you read your Bible? Would you want them like Paul said? Look in Philippians chapter 3 and look at what Paul said in verse 15. No, drop down to verse 17. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who are living according to the pattern that we've given you. Paul was not saying he was perfect. What he was saying was, what he was saying was, these people had never seen Jesus in person. They didn't have Jesus as their model to follow. So Paul said, follow my example, because I'm following Jesus. You want your children to read your Bible, their Bible, the same way you read your Bible? You're passing down a legacy of faith. My mother-in-law died a month ago, and one of the speakers said every time he ever went to Grandma Lila's house, she was doing one of two things. She was either in her chair reading her Bible, or she was cooking to take something to somebody to do something. The fourth challenge, look at verse 6. Paul wrote, for this reason I remind you to fan into flame, that flame that's burning here, fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12 tell us that if you are a believer, you have at least one spiritual gift. It says, to each has been given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. I know what my spiritual gifts are, but my main spiritual gift is teaching the Word of God. Now, you can go through the teachings of Jesus, and it is very clear that to him whom much is given, much will be required. To some, he gave one, some he gave three, some he gave five. So we're gonna stand before the Lord at one day. Christians have passed the judgment seat. We've already crossed that area. We don't have to say whether we just come into the presence of Jesus, but we are going to give an account of what we've been given, how we've been faithful stewards of what we've been given. When my husband Terry died, I had to do a grave marker. I don't know how many of you have ever had to do that, but it's an overwhelming thing to do because you kind of have to sum up a person's life in stone. It's going to be there till Jesus comes back. Well, on the front, I put the two verses that we based our marriage on, Proverbs 3:5 and 6.
And I had him to write it out. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy path. But our children were so little that I wanted to put something on the back that they would know their mama and daddy individually and who they were in the Lord. So on the back of Terry's, I had them to inscribe daddy, engrave daddy in that stone. And under his, because Terry was a giver, his spiritual gift was giving. If there was somebody in need, he would ask me what I thought we needed to give. And if I said 25, he would say 50. If I said 50, he would say 100, because he always gave for more. So I put Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus our Lord. But then I had to put something on my side because it was together. Now I'm going to tell you something. It took me about 4 months. I love this word of God. But I thought, what is the one thing that I want my boys to remember when they come to the grave? And I told them, you will come to the grave and keep it keep flowers on it, you know. I finally decided on one verse that when they read the name Mom on the back, it's Psalm 100, verse 2a. Y'all read it this morning. Serve the Lord with gladness. It's the greatest privilege that we get this side of heaven. 2 Timothy 2:20 and 21 says, in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but of wood and earthenware. And if anyone purifies himself from what is ignoble, he will be a vessel of noble use, consecrated, useful to the master of the house, and ready for any good work. I want to be useful to the master of the house. I want him to say, I want her. I got a job to do, and I choose you. Are you living your life in such a way that you are sold out to Jesus and your children and your grandchildren and all the people in your family? They might call you crazy because half of my family thinks I am. But I'm going to tell you one thing. I don't aim to please my family. I want to please the master. I want to hear him one day. When Billy Graham died, one of my friends texted and said, you know, what a mighty man of God. He lived a life of obedience, and it changed the world. He lived a life of obedience. God's word says to obey is better than sacrifice. John Mark sometimes says that I'm Pharisaical because I try to obey. I don't speed because I believe if you can't obey a big old black and white sign that's right in front of your face that tells you that it's breaking the law if you go over 55, woo, she's preaching and gone to meddling now, ain't she? Yeah. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're speeding, parents and grandparents, and you got a child strapped in that car, you're safe. Well, it's all right for mom and daddy to break the law. That's what you're saying. Did you understand this? Then when they come to you a little bit later and they say, well, you know, I was just going 5 miles over because you told me that I wouldn't get a ticket if I was just going 5 miles over. Shame on you. Because the Old Testament says to obey is better than sacrifice. Jesus said, if you love me, if you love me, keep my commandments. You know how you keep from breaking the law? Set the cruise control. It'll work every time. You set it on 55. Now you'll get passed by everybody on the road. I don't care. I was filling up with gas at a gas station one day. God puts people in my path that you just would not believe. And this highway patrolman was filling up his car with gas. And so I walked over to him because I like to verify what I'm saying. And I said to him, I looked at his name tag, and his name was Sergeant Frost. And I thought, ooh, I bet he can be cold when he pulls you over. And I, said, sir, I teach. And when I'm a Bible teacher, and when I'm teaching people about obedience, I said, I find that most people break the speed limit. Most Christians break the speed limit. I said, could you tell me what percentage of people obey the speed limit? He said, percentage? I said, well, about how many people obey the speed limit? He said, maybe two. He said, if we spend all of our time giving tickets to people that break the speed limit, we won't ever be able to do anything else. And then he did this. He looked that way. He looked that way. He said, I probably shouldn't tell you this. He said, but in our school of training, he said, we are trained to be on the lookout for people that drive 1 or 2 miles below the speed limit as possible drug traffickers. I said, so I'm obeying the law and they think I'm trafficking drugs. I'm just telling you, I pray, I'm going to pray this. Because I believe the Holy Spirit's moving in this room this morning. I pray if you speak this week that you're going to get a ticket. I'm just saying. This will probably be my farewell address to y'all. But it is what it is. When I'm teaching, Brother Pastor, I want you to like me. When I'm preaching, I don't care. Okay? And your last. I see it's at 12 o'clock. I don't know if y'all are accustomed to getting out at 12 o'clock, but today you won't be, okay? But it'll be soon. It will be soon, okay? And the last challenge. Let me go back to that one, though, first. Would you want your children to obey like you obey? Are you leaving a legacy that you're going to follow God's laws? God is a holy God. And I think we have forgotten that concept. And God cannot look on sin. It was not the nails at Calvary that killed Jesus. It was that one moment in time when all of your sins and all of my sins fell on the sinless Son of God, that God had to look away. I want a pure heart. I don't have a pure heart. I disappoint the Lord every day. But I want a pure heart. I want my children to look at me and know that above everything else, I want to please the Lord. The last verse, verse 7. For God did not give us a spirit of fear. I don't know why we worry about what people think about us. John Mark said sometimes we're more worried about offending somebody than realizing that they're going to spend eternity separated from God because we don't want to impose our beliefs on them. Your children know Jesus is first. It doesn't matter what people think. As we come to this time of invitation, I don't know what the Holy Spirit has said to you, but I know that He's moving. I don't like speaking on Sunday morning because a lot of times people don't anticipate God speaking because they come out of habit. But it grieves me so when I know that Holy God has spoken to a heart and that it just don't respond. Whatever God has said to you today, if you need to make a commitment to cover your family in prayer, if you want to start taking the time to serve and not to be served, as Jesus said His life's ministry was. If you need to be in your Bible with a consistent plan, whether it's to read it in a year or to read If you read one chapter a day, it'll take you 3.5 years. And if you're feeling pretty good and think that God's going to leave you, stick with that plan. But if not, I would speed it up. Okay? Are you going to take a stand today and say, I'm going to leave a legacy of faith? Doesn't matter what's in the 401k or my bank account, but my children are going to know that above everything else, I was going to live my life for Jesus. And I was going to tell that sweet, sweet story to every person that I know. Would you respond in obedience as we sing?
Please stand. We'll sing hymn page 282.
I just simply do not believe that there are mamas and daddies and grandmamas and granddaddies in this congregation who have not heard the Holy Spirit speak to you. And I know that you may not have a normal habit of coming down to this altar, but I'm going to tell you something. This is a day of accountability.
Amen.
And I believe that God sees and He honors when we obey. Brother Pastor, would you come and stand with our other pastor here? As we sing these next two verses, don't sing these words if you don't mean it. Living for Jesus. We have got to get serious about having a legacy of faith. If you feel God even for a moment, this is the part that breaks my heart. When you hear God speak, if you don't respond immediately in obedience, He leaves and moves on to the next person. I don't want to miss a call. Jesus said, I brought glory to the Father by doing what you gave me to do. You can't do that if you can't hear Him speak. If God is speaking to you, come. You don't have to even speak to your pastors. Just come to the altar and say, today, Lord, I want to start fresh. Your mercies are new every morning. Unless I am wrong in my spirit, I am discerning the Holy Spirit moving in this place. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Let's sing.
Oh, look at your book. Just like you want immediate obedience from your children, God expects immediate obedience from His children. And the second thing, do you see what one act of obedience can do? There had to be one person who stepped out first. And then that was the example that others followed. You can't control what goes on in this world, but you can control what goes on in this heart and in your home. You be the example that others can follow. And I want you to know, I was going to leave here grieved to death and weep all the way home and probably would have wept all day tomorrow. Because if it breaks my heart that bad when people hesitate, what do you think it does to God's heart? I want to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
On. Yeah, now it is. Okay, good. Wow. Phyllis, thank you so much. Thank you so much for that powerful word that you delivered to us from God. We just want to say thank you. Now, y'all, I just have to say this. Some of you stepped out in faith this morning, and you took a bold move by coming down here to just recommit yourselves, to pray for your children, to pray for your families. And that's a big step to take, but it doesn't end here. It starts when you walk out that door. So my prayer for you this week is that you would go out and you would honor that commitment that you made, whether it was down here at the front or in your pews or in your heart. And that you would live that out, that you would give yourself to Jesus. Would you pray with me? God, it has been great to be in your house this morning, to sing your praises, to worship your name, and to be reminded of who we are supposed to be as Christian people. God, I pray that you be with us as we leave this place, that you would just fill us with your Spirit, and that we would be your people wherever we go. God, help us to live for you this week, truly. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.